Melachim Beis, Peret Beis, have to daven for Siyata Deshmaya to get this, I wouldn't say right, but to approach this, approach it right. This is a very esoteric parrot, and we're going to try to paint a picture here that really is beyond me, so let's see. Vayihi b'ha'alois Hashem es Eliyahu b'sa'ora ha'shamayim. When the time came for Hashem to take Eliyahu by storm up to heaven, vaya'al Eliyahu ve'elisha min ha'gilgal. So Eliyahu and Elisha went together from Gilgal. Now, vayomer Eliyahu al Elisha, Eliyahu said to Elisha, shev na poi, you stay here. Ki Hashem shlochani ad Beis El, Hashem sent me with a mission to Beis El, so you stay here. No need for you to come with me. Vayomer Elisha. So Elisha said, Chai Hashem, v'chei nafshecha, by the life of Hashem, and by your life, swore, ime izveko, if I would leave you. Vayedu Beis El. So they went together to Beis El. What's going on here? We already get an inkling of there's something big going on. Eliyahu is almost kind of trying to shake Elisha off. And Elisha is also sensing that, which is, you don't necessarily have to say that. Elisha doesn't want to part from Eliyahu. So we already are familiar with, we already understand the concept, and the first pasuk is already alluding to it, that Eliyahu is going to be brought up to Shamayim, and we're all familiar with the... with that Elisha went up to Eliyahu went up to Shamayim in his lifetime. So already now we have to just in order to learn the parak, let's just set up what's going on here. On the one hand, Chazal make it very clear that Eliyahu went straight from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. There wasn't the usual distinction between leaving the body here and going up. I'm specifically wording it that way. It wasn't usually, you leave the body here, you go up, right? But Chazal take it that this is not metaphoric. It wasn't like, it wasn't the way of saying that he died. There was not that distinction. He didn't leave his body. He went up to Shamayim. Now, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you see in the Mefarshim, and Rav Gesser really articulates this, that to say that he went up with his physical body is very difficult to accept. Not because it can't happen, but just because it almost defeats the purpose of Olam Haba. Because the body, by its essence, is something... The essence of the body is something that's meant to inhibit the neshama, to put a damper on its... glow, on its powers, on its capacities. The body, really, all the body is one big cage. That's the essence of the body. It's meant to be spiritually numbing, right? And it is an essence of Hester. And the person, in order to exist, in order to experience Olam Haba, the person needs to shed his body.
The bodies in our bodies, Adam HaRishon, had a translucent body.
Oh, okay, so let's see. So this is the problem that Rav Dessler sets up. What's that?
Hashem said, you can't see me and live.
Exactly. Meaning, as long as you're in your body, it's just, the body is, in essence, limited, and there's a lot more spirituality that's intended for you that just is beyond the confines of the body. So you see the Mefarshim trying to, like, figure this out. Again, they stress that Chazal made it very clear that, no, this is not a way of saying that he died. He actually went up. And therefore, the kivun that we have to go on is what Nechemi just mentioned. What's that?
I don't really understand the question. Didn't we learn, I believe it was in the Khazari, about just as we earn the scar here, you know, this world, the body and the soul together, so it's also in the Olam Haba that Hashem will put the body and the soul together for the reward there.
Oh, Derech Hashem. Right.
Oh, it's Ramchal.
Right, that's the Ramchal says that. But he's talking about Chiyas HaMesim, he's not talking about Olam Haba. Right? And also Tchiyas HaNesim is a different reality, which is kind of what we're getting at here. And you know what, Adarabba, let's work off what you just said, and this is also what you mentioned. The way the Ramchal puts it down, more in Das Tzunis, but we touched on this in Le'ed Hashem, is that body can exist on different levels also. Meaning, let's understand that the body and the neshama are not two completely different, they are different entities, but it's not like there's just completely no shaisus and Hashem put the two together. We've learned the concept of Hishtalshalus in the Derech Hashem, right? We're familiar with the concept of that there's pure spirituality, that as it goes down a level, it takes on a bit more of a physical form. But for us, would still be absolute spirituality, right? More physical form and a more physical form, and the body is the bottommost level of that whole process. But really what the neshama is the etzem, it's the root of the body, it's the spiritual root of the body. Everything about your body is something that's ultimately radiating from the neshama, right? Your nails, your hair, every aspect of your body is something of the neshama that took on physical form, that materialized. And there's very, very, very many levels and degrees. So what's going on here, you know, Gessler puts it down this way, and this is the Malbim working with this Kivun, was that this was already a process of Hashem bringing Eliyahu to a point of his body starting to kind of ascend in its level of physicality, to ascend and to become more spiritual. This is a process that was already in play now, until it could reach a point where, already as it was in this world, it was already capable of moving into the next stage smoothly, without that usually stark split between here the body ends and here you move into the existence of the neshama. The transition was already going on in his lifetime, with Hashem moving him step by step into a more spiritual existence, until he already reached the point. Now this is already something that had to happen in a very big way on the spot, that his body could transition to the point that it's fit to actually go up to Shemayim.
Isn't Moshe Rabbeinu already half?
I don't know. We don't see that Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know. I don't know how to put the different things together. Moshe Rabbeinu is not from the people, the three people that it says about in history that went up as is, right? Kanaim, Eliyahu, and the other three one was. But
so he didn't go. He had the converse with the Malachim.
Now that's a different story. Going up while he's alive. I'm talking about this concept of at the end of life, that there simply is not a split between body and soul. This goes up as is. We find that said about three people. I forgot who the third one was.
Chanoich.
No, he was one of the ones who never did an Avera. Chanoich, Eliyahu. What's that? Eliezer? No, he's not the third. I'm not sure. So whatever the case is, maybe it was fine. I don't know what that's going to be. No, not one of them. This is when we show up in Leviath or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to put all these different things together, because apparently once we're talking about outside of physical, there could be all kinds of different variations. I don't know. But you know what? I don't want to get confused with other examples. There was a process here of Hashem actually moving Eliyahu through the transition, beginning already in this world, which really came from his avodah. Began with his avodah of moving the body into its true place, right? And the way the Ramchal talks about it when he talks about Tchias HaMeisim is this: today, our experience of life is not 99%, 99. I don't know, whatever percent body, right? We experience body. And there might be a bit of faint something of the neshama in the background, but sometimes you feel a shtickle, right? So he says, it's going to be the exact same thing reversed. You will experience neshama, and the body will be somewhere in the background. Yeah, how exactly does that work? What's the point of it? I'm not going to get into that now. But here we're actually, and also more than that, the body itself will be in a different level. This is what Nefemi mentioned. Adam HaRishon had a body, but it was much higher up on that level of Hishtalshalus, right? We talked about Hishtalshalus. If you would see Adam HaRishon, I don't know if we would see him before. But he had a physical body. It just wasn't physical in the terms of physicality that we know it. The world hadn't reached such a physical state. So this was the process that was going on here. And it was leading up to that Hashem wanted to actually bring Eliyahu straight, that the transition should be smooth without that split between body and soul. The body was merging into that level of soul that he could just go straight up. Now, why was Hashem setting it up this way? The Alshich says that this was all included in the original promise that was made to Pinchas. Hashem told him, you know, I'm giving you my covenant of peace. It says already at that time Hashem had destined for him that this is what he was going to do. Okay, now as we're going to move further, these are obviously concepts that are a little bit beyond us, and we're going to see these concepts going even more beyond us. But let's see what we can come away with the our level. So let's see. So now, Eliyahu knew that this was happening. Eliyahu knew that this was happening. And what the Mefarshim, different Mefarshim say different things. Why was he trying to discourage Elisha from coming along? Why was he trying to discourage Elisha from coming along? So Rashi and other Mefarshim seem to take what we call the basic approach, that it was Pashat Anova. Like something was going to happen with him that was mamish, not a once-in-history occurrence, but pretty much, for all practical purposes, a once-in-history occurrence. And it was another. He knew what Hashem was doing with him. He knew that it was coming today. He didn't want him to see. He didn't want him to be there.
Why him?
What's that?
Why him?
You just said why. Pinchas. What's that? This was included in the promise that Hashem gave to him as Pinchas. Yeah. But even if we don't say that, it could be that this is where his levels of avodah led him to. But the Alshich says something interesting. I don't know if the Mefarshim go in different directions with this, exactly why was he trying to discourage him. The Alshich says something interesting. The Alshich says that Eliyahu, already at this point, he was already, and this is interesting also, at this point, he's still busy conversing with the people around him. But you see from the Malbim and from the Alshich and others that already at this point, he wasn't the body that we know. This process had already begun earlier. Hashem was moving him, was already transitioning him from early on. If you remember, we learned about the story where Eliyahu... Remember we learned about where Eliyahu, when he was running away from Achav, so you get what we're getting at, where he ran to the desert and he ate the ugas with Tzofim, he ate that cake of coals, and then he walked for 40 days, and then he was at Hasina and he had that vision. So if you remember then, they said that the Malbim said that what was going on was he ate this ugas with Tzofim, what's that? Yeah, this wafer of coals or whatever it was. He says this was actually food that was already... Eliyahu had brought himself through his own avodah to the point of basically negating the body to the greatest extent that a human being could. Okay, so he was already on the threshold of moving into the next level of pure spirituality. Hashem gave him that ugas with tzofim to eat. It was spiritual food. There is spiritual food. It's food that malachim eat. Right? It's food that the nefesh eats in the intermediary stages after it passes on, but it hasn't really moved into the olam ha'neshamis to the extent that it already isn't feeding anymore, right? There's the point where Chazal say, "Ein bo le'achiv le'ishtiyah." But there are intermediary stages where the neshama is still eating. The Rashba talks about this, the Maral talks about this. Spiritual food, according to some, that's when the Levyasan is eaten, right? Yes, it says that you eat the Levyasan and Elam Abba. It also says Elam Abba is no eating and no drinking, right? So, simply understood, the Levyasan is a spiritual concept. But the Maral and the Rashba, they both say, no, we're talking about an intermediary stage where the Nesham, the Nefesh is actually still eating spiritual food. Okay? So now, this is what the Man was. The Man, it says, was food of Malachim. Now, they had it in physical form, but it was in a more spiritual form of physical. It was a higher level of physical, right? That's why it didn't cause any bodily functions. And that's why it also enabled them to live in a higher place. So, the Malbim said back then that when Hashem fed him this ugas ritzafim, this wafer of coals, whatever exactly it was, this was food that was already, he was already on the threshold, this was food that was meant to nourish his step to the next place. And therefore, he was already able, it says that he walked 40 days without food, right? Because that's it. He had already moved, ascended to the next level of being above physicality. His body already wasn't at that point already. Had you met him, he was already more of a spiritual being. More of the translucent, not exactly Adam HaRishon, but more of the translucent kind of body that you were talking about. And I don't know if already at that point, I don't know if everybody was able to see him or not. Maybe it depended at different times. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But his body had already ascended to a higher level. And that the Malbim said back then, was the beginning of the process. Hashem was bringing him to this state of that he should become so spiritual that he could just transition smoothly into the next world. So, the Al-Sheikh says that he wasn't really trying to discourage Elisha. He was just understanding that this is the day that the transition is going to happen fully. And his spirituality throughout this day, as we're going to see, is going to be intensifying and intensifying. I mean, Hashem brought him to it in stages. As long as he's still meant to be living in this world, it was a slow process, a gradual process. On this last day of his life, the whole process is going to really pick up speed and start intensifying in a very major way, kind of like the thing of the plane where you hear the engines really starting to build up, right? So this is what's going on now. And Eliyahu sensed this. He realized what was going on. He knew that he has a lot ahead of him to do today, as we're going to see soon. They walked to Beis El, and from there to Yericho, and from there to across the Yarden, which is, I don't know the geography, but just what comes out of the Mephoshim is that this is much too much to walk in one day. So Eliyahu, again, like we saw earlier, Eliyahu operated in ways that humans don't operate because his body already was elevated at that point, right? So he was perfectly capable of covering distances that humans can't cover. So the Al-Sheikh says he was simply telling Elisha, you might as well stay here because at this point already, our ways part. I'm going to be moving ahead now at a non-human pace. But Elisha says no. Elisha says no. I'm going to come with you. And he's going to put in superhuman efforts to keep up with Elio. So now, Vayerdu Beis El. So they went down. They went to Beis El. Vayetzu b'nei Anavim asher Beis El. And the b'nei Anavim that were in Beis El. We talked about the concept of Bnei Nevi'im. These were Nevi'im, people from the yeshiva of Nevi'im, right? There was yeshivas of Nevi'im around Eretz Yisrael. People worked on becoming Nevi'im. So large groups of Nevi'im in various places. So the Nevi'im of the area came out to Elisha, El Elisha, and they said to him, Hayodato ki ayoyim Hashem lekeach esadinecho me'al reshecho? Do you know that today Hashem is going to take your master from you? Vayomer, and he said, Gam ani yodati. I know this also. Hecheshu. Keep quiet. Don't talk about it. So, this is all part of understanding what was going on here, of understanding this process. Another yesod, we see not just here, we've seen this earlier back with Shmuel Hanavi, etc., is that Nevuah works on two levels. There's a person's personal merit. He can connect to Nevuah according to his level. Fine. But there's also a concept of drawing off the great Nevi'im of Israel. Meaning, a Navi, what he's actually doing is accessing spiritual conduits, right? And bringing down an influx of Ruchnias into our world, an influx of Shechinah into our world. When a Navi is great enough does that, he can actually bring it into a way that now becomes accessible to other people also. And that's why it says in Shmuel's time, there was a great proliferation of Nevi'im. There were many more Nevi'im than there had been previously. Why? Because Shmuel had reached such a level of Nevoah, brought down such a Ruach, that it was now easier for people around to connect. It was more to draw. So, the Nevi'im, in this time, many of them were drawing off, living off, the Ruach of Eliyahu. Now, what happened on this day was, the Malbim says a little more vaguely, the Al-Sheikh spells it out a bit more, but this is all Mamish operating, you know, with the Yesodus of Kabbalah, was that in general, when a great person is about to leave this world, or even say more than that, when a regular person, when a person is about to leave this world, a Jew who has a neshama is about to leave this world, that what we described before about the engine starting to rev up happens, okay? Because we're busy making the connection between the way Rav Dessler puts it is, and he goes, this is very interesting. This is really a piece in Rav Nachman Mibreslev that Rav Dessler expounds on and explains at length without quoting it, and the Talmidim are mitzayin on the bottom that this is actually a biur, an explanation of that piece in the Kutei Maharan, Rav Nachman Mibreslev. So it explains like this. He says that every person, I'm guessing that the way we would express this is just in terms of familiar with, every person has a neshama. A neshama has different levels, right? We're familiar with the idea. A neshama has different levels. We can connect to certain levels of our own spirituality in this world, right? You can sense your... It's not so far, and certainly when we've seen great people, and certainly when we're talking about people of yesteryear, who can connect to their higher inner levels. We might sometimes sense this from time to time in a fleeting way, right? And there were people who really did it in a bigger way. But you have to understand that in a general way, you're not really accessing your neshama. The neshama is beyond the reach of this world's experience. There's the nefesh, there's the ruach, there are the different levels, or the way it's expressed by Rav Nachman Mibreslev and Rav Dessler, and his piece on this is that there's the lower level neshama and there's the higher level neshama, which I understand just based on other svarim, Nefesh HaChaim, etc., is referring to the nefesh and the ruach versus the neshama per se. Now, the neshama is the real you. It's just outside your realm of experience as long as you're in this world. That's what he said is the function of the body, right? The function of the body is to cut you off from that real you, right? You don't experience it. But it's you. Whatever you're doing in this world is actually developing that neshama. When a person passes on, so he suddenly moves into the existence of that neshama. Okay? Now there's a moment of transition where Hashem actually makes the connection with the neshama that the person has in this world, with that ultimate, that true neshama, and there's a certain explosion of spirituality that marks the moment that the person leaves this world. There's a lot of different things that connect to that. That's why, and there seems to be, this what comes out of these different svarim, is that there's a certain split second, or maybe more than that, or maybe less than that, of overlap, where the person can actually, before he's actually really dead, he's already experiencing that next level. Now, and that's... Now, this, in a general way, begins happening earlier on the day of the Ptira. Hashem is already intensifying the person's spiritual inside. Now, I guess different people, according to their levels, will be more aware of it or less aware of it. But will the person's spirituality on the inside level, on the lower level, is busy intensifying throughout the day toward that moment of the flash, right, which we call the Yetzias Neshama. So here, what was going on with Eliyahu is that this is happening in a much more intense way. This is happening in a much more intense way. Because Hashem is actually trying to, is actually leading it to a point where he's going to transition smoothly without the, without leaving the body behind. Right? So it's busy building up. Now, the Nevi'im, as we said before, draw off the Ruach of Eliyahu. Okay? So all of a sudden, the Nevi'im around Eretz Yisrael started sensing that something is going on. Because the spirituality that they lived with, in a large way, they were drawing off Eliyahu. And they're sensing this intensification. And they knew what to make out of it. This is the day that Eliyahu is going to depart from this world. This is the day that Eliyahu is going to depart from this world. And that was why, that's the pshat in them coming to Elisha and telling him, do you realize that Eliyahu is going to depart today? Why did they think that Elisha wasn't aware? I'm not going to get into that If you want to look, Malbim has his take on it, Mishnah Mizbali has his take on it. But they had reason to think that Elisha wasn't aware. Perhaps stopped it because he was greater than them. Perhaps stopped it because they were greater than him. Whatever it is, let's leave that aside. But they came to Elisha and told him this. And he told them, Gamani Yadati, I realize this also, that Eliyahu is nearing his departure. Hechetshu. Keep quiet about it. Keep quiet about it. Now why keep quiet about it? What's the secret? What's that? Oh, so it looks that way, right? So, actually, so Rav Moshe David Mali and Al Shechko both go in the same direction, and they're both, of course, drawing off the real Kabbalistic sources. But they say that the other Naveen thought they were sensing it maybe in a faint way, or they didn't know exactly to interpret what they were sensing. They understood that we're leading up to Eliyahu's departure. Okay? But they didn't realize that what was actually going on was this much different plane of this concept, right? This is leading up to this massive of Eliyahu actually transitioning with his body as is in whatever state it would be at that point. Right? That they didn't realize. Now this was something of very, very, very great importance. But it was also a very, very delicate operation, because this was a special schar for Elisha, and Moshe David Vali and Al Shech both say that the Satan would be working against this, because this is very, very unique for a person to be zeicha to this. The Satan was working against this, and it was very, very sensitive, delicate, would it actually happen or not. Meaning, Hashem was leading up to it, but the world has its systems, right? The world has its systems, and the Satan fights things, great things that are supposed to happen. And the Satan has given his power to fight it. And it might depend on what's going on in this world, will it actually happen or not? So Elisha was saying, keep quiet, because there are kitrugim that could happen. And one of the most fundamental yisoidis of, especially with ruchniyistic occurrences that want to happen, is that silence is a major factor. Like, the more it's kept quiet, the less it's discussed, the less it's put out into the open, the less room there is for kitrug. So the Alshich says just about the process itself. The process itself was something very, very delicate, and it was like very suspenseful and precarious would it actually happen successfully or not. And Moshe David Mali adds more than that. He says that what was at stake was even more, because even if it would happen, we're going to see soon that Elisha was going to try to get from it the most he could. We're going to see soon in the Pesukim what that means. But whatever it is, his question was, we're going to see soon, we'll see more detail what this means, but how much of the spirituality of that moment will we manage to actually pull into this world? That also was something that was of great stakes and very, very precarious and subject to kitur. So therefore, he's telling them, yes, this is happening, but no one should be talking about it.
So the same thing happens later on with Elisha and Gehazi. He tells him, like, walk with the staff and don't talk to anybody.
That's right. That's right. And he goes and tells everybody what's going on, and that ruins it. That's right. That's right. In other words, the more you bring it into the physical world by expressing it physically, etc., the more you are compromising the spiritual quality of what's going on. You want to leave it completely in the spiritual plane. Which is really also the concept of Ein HaBrach Mitzuyah L'Vadomash Yisrami Min HaAyin, right? Etc., etc. Yeah. So now, Vayemer Le'Eliyahu Elisha. So they come to Beis El, they do their mission there. Eliyahu says to Elisha, Shev Napai. Now stay here. Hashem sent me on to Yerichai. This is all going to happen in one day. When I come to Yerichai, you're not going to be able to do that. And Elisha says, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha im ezvecha. If I'll leave you.
What's
that?
Oh
yeah, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there you go.
Why not just do this in fire and see his own home?
Okay.
He's shocking him all over the place.
Oh, so why, what's with this whole trek? So the Al-Shukh says that Hashem wanted him to go to... It's ultimately it's going to happen Me'eva La'yadin, the other side of the Yadin. Right? We're on the other side of the Yadin. The Al-Shukh says, in the same place where he earned this kiss. Where did he earn this kiss? Shittim. What's that? As Pinchas. Shittim. Midbar. Outside of Eretz Yisrael. Where he actually did his act of Kanos. So this is why he's leading him there. So this was the way to go was Beis El Yerichai out across the Yarden. So now, Ayichu Bnei Nevim Asher B'Yerichai, and the Bnei Nevim of Yerichai came El Elisha. They also came to Elisha. And they said, Hayodato Kayoim Hashem Lekach Asadenecha Me'al Rishecha. Are you aware that Hashem is going to be taking your master from you today? Vayemer, he says, Gam ani yodati. I know. Hecheshu. Keep quiet. What's that? The Rebbe is like the crown of his head, right? That's what the Mitzvah says. Okay? Vayemer le'Eliyahu. Then Eliyahu says to him, Shev na poi. Stay here. Kashem shlochani hayodeno. Because Hashem sent me to yard to the yard across the yard. So he said again, Chai Hashem, v'chai nafshecha, imezvecha. Ayelchushehem, and they went together. Meaning they're already on the same plane. And on the contrary, Elisha is putting in the efforts to keep up, and he's being zecha to the yard of Ishmael that he's able to keep up with Eliyahu. And those 50 men from the Bnei HaNevim who saw what was going on, they followed them. But they stood further back. I guess they understood that they're not meant to be too close. And Elisha and Eliyahu, they stood on the Yadin. At the Yadin. I just note that it's a machlokes between the Radak and the Al-Shikh, whether they went to Beis El and to Yerichai, and they were and they encountered the group of Bnei Nevim in each place. So the Radak says that right.
So what are the two sides of the machlokes?
So the Radak says that wherever they passed through, the Nevim of the area came. It wasn't because they were specifically targeting these two areas because it was specifically Nevim. The Nevim in every town. This was their route, so this is where they encountered the Nevi'im of the place. The Al-Shikh says, no, they were specifically sent on this route for these specific groups of Nevi'im. He says, actually, these were the only Nevi'im there at the time, because he said, I'll wipe out all the Nevi'im, except two groups of 50 Nevi'im that Oivadia had hid, if you remember. Right? He says, these were those two groups, and Hashem specifically sent him to encounter those two groups on his way, so that they also should be able to draw off and benefit from his intensified ruach that he has now at this time. So now, okay. Vayikach Eliyahu es adalto. Eliyahu took his cloak, vayiglein, he wrapped it up like into a stick. And he hit the water. And they split to both sides. And they both walked through on dry land. Okay, to get across the Yadin, right? Nothing surprising there. I just want to read an very inspiring lesson of the Malbim on this puzzle. I want to read it in Hebrew just because of the beauty of the Lashon, and then we'll translate it into English. Mevor etzli ki anes asher yasa adam ba'olam hayakata yigdal oiz la'aseis gam ba'olam hagadol shem yachmia es teva gufo le'inyonim elokiyim neged tivoy ken gam ha'teva ha'kelelos b'moshech ha'acharon. Translate it. So he says, miracles that a person does in his own inner world own inner world, meaning we're really familiar with the concept that the person and his body and the person of his body are like a microcosm, when we put it that way, of the whole world in general. And so there's a whole nature system inside the person's body, which includes a person's instincts, passions, desires, etc. All kinds of nature is going on in the person's body. He says, miracles that a person does in his own little world will give him the power to do them in the broader world as well. Because if a person subdues the natures at work in his own body and imposes upon them godliness, so the broader nature, which is really just an extension of that, will also, in the same way, he'll be able to subdue that and just impose godliness on it. Beautiful ocean. What's
that?
Yeah. And it's basically, now of course, at what level will this be? Will differ from time to time, but this really corresponds to the Gemara that says that Siyata Dishmaya of like the power of tefillas, right? And we're not necessarily talking about Nisan per se, but just the power of tefillas, which is, if we're going to talk about the lower level of what we're talking about here, the O is able to take this thing and bend the other. But the ability to make things happen, the Gemara says it's an issue of Mesiras Nefesh, not necessarily greatness in learning, etc. The Gemara says it's an issue of Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh basically means a person overcoming himself for the sake of Hashem. So, this Mamish corresponds to what the Malbim is saying here. But okay, back to our subject. So now, we'll end, we'll just end with this pasuk, which is really just throwing out a question mark, but okay. Vayihi ke'avam, as they passed, and that's it. They reached a place, and it's going to happen now, right? Elio omar Elisha, Elio said to Elisha, sha'al ma'es elach, make a request of me. What would you like me to do for you? Beterem elokach me'imach, before I depart, before I'm taken from you. Vayomer Elisha, and Elisha responds with a very bold request. V'hino pishnayim beruchach ha'eloi, I would like to have double your spirit. So right now, I'll just throw out the three understandings of what Elisha meant here. Did he really mean the non-mathematical equation? Or did he mean something a little more mathematical? I'll just throw this out and then we'll leave it for next week. So, different Mefarshim say different things. Ramesh David Vali brings together all the different Mahalchim and Mefarshim. He says all three. He's basically three understandings. The Rabban and the Radak say that this is not the unmathematical thing that it sounds like. He says that the Nevi'im will all be drawing off the spirit that Elisha, that Elio is going to leave behind. He's asking for a chelek b'chayra. He should get a double share. Okay? I don't know exactly how that works. Apparently it gets split up in a portion, he's asking for a double share as the Bukhar Talmud. Okay, so that makes sense in terms of. The Malbim says something, and Rav Moshe David Vali cites it, says something very interesting based on the Kabbalah. He says, we're not talking about double what Elio had. He said, I want the double spirit that you have, meaning, he says that Eliyahu, the Kabbalah say that Elio is the tikkun of Nodav Avia. Other than Ravio, were very, very high in the Shamas, very, very great people. Pinchas was the tikkun of Nadav Avio, and how, whatever this means, he took into himself both of their ruach. So Elio had a double ruach. So I guess if you're adding to his own, I don't know. Unless you say that kind of like it was an oisin of Gilgul, that he embodied who they were. Okay? So Elisha was asking for Eliyahu's double ruach. He wasn't asking for more than Eliyahu had. He was asking for Eliyahu's double ruach. Okay? But Lemaisa, the Mefarshim, know that Chazal's understanding is that no, Elisha was making the unmathematical request, give me twice as much as you have. That was what he was asking for. And therefore the next pasuk is very understandable. Eliyahu responds, Kshesa Lishoel, you're making a very tough request. But what Elisha was asking for, and what Elio's response is, okay, we'll see, Bezos Hashem.
You say it was an impossible request, it was just difficult.
That's right.
It sounds like unreasonable.
That's right. Stay tuned.
unmathematical.